There is in the world around us an ongoing fascination with angels. We see, is it on there? Angel, okay. Try again. How about now? Oh, okay. Well, that's all I need. Okay. We see angel figures painted on various things. Some paintings of famous painters are done in various angels. Michelangelo and some of them have done some very ornate pictures of them. Numerous books have been published about angels. And I wouldn't recommend them, but anyway, there's a lot of speculation. Throughout the years, there have been some TV shows that have been specifically about angels, Touched by an Angel, and Highway to Heaven, I think, was another one. That's about angels. But the problem with that is with those shows and with those books, there's a great deal of misinformation that is being spread into the popular culture around us. In paintings, angels are normally pictured with wings. The famous holiday movie, which we observed in the song we sang this evening. I thought that was great, by the way. I want to tell you, that was great. But you've all seen it. It's a Wonderful Life. Now, we know it's a fantasy and so forth. But what we learn there is that angels earn their wings by doing good deeds for men. Not misinformation. But one thing about it, though, the Bible does teach us that angels do fly. We open the Bible to Revelation 14 and verse 6, and we see that the angels have wings and they fly. In fact, the cherubim and seraphim were special classes of angelic beings, which did have four wings. We read about those in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. That's only one place you read of it. But hold on to your seats. Nothing at all, nil, zilch, nada, nothing is said in the scriptures about angels having halos. Now, I know that probably shocks some of you, because you know just as sure as anything, when you see an angel, you're going to see him with a halo over their head. Not so. In no version of the scriptures does it ever say that an angel has a halo. But you would say, well, where did this come from? That means someone's got, where did they get that idea? Well, in the 14th century, well into Roman Catholic apostasy, artists began, when they painted the saints and angels, they always painted them with a little glow around their head that meant they were holy. And so, through the years, everyone just assumed that every angel's holy and every angel's got a halo. But no such thing. No such thing whatsoever. And now, the real shocker. Harps are only mentioned in Revelation 14, verses 1 and 2, with regard to angels. Listen to this carefully. I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. Well, immediately, we assume, well, harpists, that's got to be all the angelic harpists up there playing their harps. This does not say that the angels are playing. And indeed, I believe we are talking about the same people that we read about in Revelation 5 and verse 8. The 24 elders, the 4 living creatures, who all fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. Those aren't angels. This is a representation in vision of the righteous dead. And not talking about angels. Now, another shocker for you. The word angel does not always refer to a heavenly creature. In fact, it is used many times to refer to simply messengers. And in fact, it is used to refer to the devil's angels, whatever they are. That's another subject. Living human beings, however, are sometimes called angels. I think an example of this, by the way, is in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Listen carefully. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Again, a case where it simply means messenger. Not necessarily angelic being, no. In most cases, it refers to heavenly messengers revealing a message from God, as in the Old Testament, which we had read for us just a moment ago. But it can refer to human messengers as well. Now, in this case, it refers either to preachers or elders of the church which was meeting in Ephesus. So, there we are. Now, summarizing what the Bible does teach about angels, and that, of course, has to be based on what we can read for ourselves, we find out that angels are a special class of beings. And I want you to ponder this just a moment before you reject it prima facie, okay? Angels are not eternal beings, but the time of their creation is unknown. Now, do you understand what I mean by that? Okay? Many people just assume that angels have been up there in heaven with God all the time from before creation. That isn't necessarily so. In fact, the Bible teaches us that they were made by God. They were made by God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, the angels, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Who does it? Well, God does. It's God's doing. Psalm 148, again, verse 2. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun, moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Praise him, you heaven of heavens. And you waters above the heavens, let him then praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, listen, he commanded, and they were created. Now let's look at that list. Praise him, all his angels. So all we know is they're created. Now when? In what part of creation, before time, whatever, we don't know. It was God's doing. He created them. And I kind of occupy the same position that Brother Robert Turner occupied when people asked him questions that like this. He said, all I know is God created them, and when and how is God's end of the stick? And I don't have any business on it. I think that's all we can do, really. I do know, however, that angels were present at the creation of the world. In Job 38, verses 6 and 7, to what were his foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Look in your footnote on your Bible. Do a little research there. The sons of God is a reference to the heavenly host or angels. Now, what about angels? Well, angels often appear like humans. And sometimes their appearance is frightening. As we noted in Daniel chapter 10, 4 through 10, this angel that spoke to him had such an appearance that Daniel became weak in his knees and fell on his face. Yet, it was an angel from God, and of course he identified himself and spoke to Daniel on that occasion. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, we found men came to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The people of the city didn't recognize them as being anything but men. That's something to note. We know they were from God. We know they were from God. But they didn't think they were anything but men. Genesis 19, verses 1 and 2. Some, according to Hebrews 13, 2, have entertained angels without knowing it. We don't know exactly when these times were, but we know that it has taken place. Why? The answer is real simple. God made them in such a way that we can't tell the difference. That we can't tell the difference. And so, some have entertained angels unawares, as King James says. Sometimes, human eyes have to be miraculously opened to see angels. If you look over in 2 Kings 6, notice he sent horses and chariots and great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, Elijah and Elisha are here, and Elisha and his servant are here, and said, "Now, just a minute. What did we just say here? We just looked outside, and there's an army out there all around us, and you're telling me that there's more of us than there are of them? You better count again." But the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Those are manifestations of angels. Well, what else do we know about angels? You're going to find out we don't know a whole lot. So I'm going to save you a lot of trouble. But what we do know, I want to share with you, and I want to talk a little bit about it. First of all, angels don't know everything. Now, while you're thinking about that, angels are not on a par with God. They were created by God, just like you. And how do we know they don't know everything? Well, Jesus said, "Of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now, what was Jesus talking about? Destruction of Jerusalem. He said, that isn't even information that the angels have. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so used to combining those, I almost forgot. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. "To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Why did they desire to look into them? Because it's things they didn't know. That's why. So, we know that there are things that they don't know. Also, there are ranks of angels. I don't know if I was thick-headed or just didn't register with me, but I was an adult before I understood there were ranks of angels. Don't know why. They are organized into legions. We sang a little about that tonight. But Jesus made the statement that tells us it's so. You do not think I cannot now pray to my Father and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? And guess what? Michael's an archangel. We don't understand exactly what his duties are, but there's a whole lot of things we don't know about angels. But in Jude chapter 9, he's mentioned as the archangel, referred to as one of the chief princes or great princes. In Daniel chapter 10 and 13, and also Daniel 12 and verse 1. But we got another name of angel popped up. His name is Gabriel. Gabriel was a messenger or an angel who appeared to Daniel in Daniel 8 verse 6, Daniel 9, 21. He also appeared to Zacharias, that's John's father, John the Baptizer, and to Mary, that's Mary, the mother of God, of Jesus, I mean, Jesus' mother. The Apocrypha has classified, and the Apocrypha is the uninspired books that were written in the time period between Malachi and the beginning of the gospel. Okay? These are books written historical records, not inspired records. Okay? But they've classified Gabriel as an archangel, as well as two others, Uriel and Raphael. Don't know where they came up with those. And, of course, in addition to that, Michael. Now, there's also a sense in which angels are considered to have higher station than men. How do we know this? Well, in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 5, the psalmist said, "You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor." Does that sound familiar? Kind of sounds like something you read over in Hebrews 2 and verse 9. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Although angels are higher than man, we should not worship angels. They are not to be worshipped. They are, in fact, our fellow servants. If you turn to Revelation 2, or 22, verses 8 and 9, John saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Now notice the response. He said to me, "See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." So, although in a little higher place than man, not to be worshipped. Not to be worshipped. Now, angels do not marry. In Matthew 22, verse 30, Jesus talking here in regard to the inquiry made by the Sadducees about the resurrection, whose will she be? Because she's been married to all these brothers and everything. Well, this is the answer. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Now, the first part of that tells us when we are raised from the dead, raised up from the dead, we are neither married or given in marriage. But it also tells us that the angels of God are the same way. Same way. Now, although angels are named, that are named in the Bible, have masculine names, angels appear to be genderless. In Matthew 22 and verse 30, should not be interpreted to mean that humans become angels whenever they die. That's another piece of bad information. Jesus said, we shall be as angels in this sense. In what sense? Neither married nor given in marriage. That's all. But, see, passages like this are ripped from the context and perverted by people to say with somewhat of certainty that every time a bell rings, angel gets his wings. But that's not what that verse says. Not what it says at all. Okay. Now, let's see here. Where are we going? Okay. Angels and their work. Let's talk about them a bit. Angels and their work. Well, we already know that angels are messengers. Numerous examples in the Old Testament and in the New Testament of angels being the agents of God. And they're used in various ways. Gabriel's work was already mentioned in Daniel 8, 6 and 9, 21, 8, 16, 9, 21, and also in Luke 1, verses 19 and 26. The angel of the Lord told Manoah's wife, that she would conceive a son, and his name would be Samson. We read that back in Judges 13 and verse 3. The angel of the Lord directed Philip. We talked about Philip and the eunuch this morning. The angel of the Lord directed Philip to go to Gaza, where he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Angels played a key role in the revelation of the law of Moses. I believe we touched on this in, was it, you know, I think it was our Sunday class, and we talked about the law being added because of transgression until the seed should come. And then it says that it was appointed through angels and the hand of a mediator. We understand this. Angels played a role in Moses delivering the law. What role? We don't know. No, we don't know. But we know they had a role in it. Now, angels worship God in heaven. In Revelation 5, 11 through 13, I looked, heard voice of many, now listen, voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and the elders, number of them 10,000, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 of thousands of thousands. That's really rough, isn't it? So, I'm going to read that again. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessed and blessing and honor and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Well, we have the angels in there worshiping God. Angels, in fact, and here's one we've overlooked a lot of times. Angels rejoice in heaven when humans repent. How do we know this tidbit of information? Well, Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Angels are also not just messengers, but are God's agents in the execution of His judgment. We mentioned Sodom a moment ago. In Genesis 19:13, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Those messengers were not just there on a sightseeing trip, folks. They were doing God's will. And we see Israel in David's time being mentioned again in 2 Samuel 24:15-16, where the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba. 70,000 men of the people died, and the angel stretched out, listen, the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, and the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. They're God's messengers of judgment. But we also find old King Herod back in Acts 12 and verse 23. Now, King Herod was pretty full of himself. He thought he was really great stuff. But look what happened whenever God dealt with him. An angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And what was the result? He was eaten by worms and died. Angels doing God's will. Angels are said to escort the righteous dead to paradise. Luke 16, verse 22. So it was, the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. See the difference between those two? Angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Now, you can say, well, it's just symbology, or that's just a way of saying something we can't understand. Whatever it says, we must believe it happened. Because God uses angels for that very purpose. Okay? Angels are also spoken of as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Going back to the beginning of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? These spirits are ministering spirits. And what does God use them for? He uses them for the betterment of His own, those who will inherit eternal salvation. Now, in what way? We don't know. And I'm going to say it again. That's God's end of the stick. I simply can say that he does. Also, you remember, and this, of course, in the first century and in this context of beginning the preaching of the gospel, but an angel released Peter from prison. And he was kind of shocked at that, but he nonetheless was released from prison by an angel. Also, an angel encouraged Paul during the terrible storm whenever he was out in the middle of the sea. There stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you." Well, that's one way that angels were used. But there's a puzzling question that always comes up. And that question is whether or not we have guardian angels. My position on this is that we cannot once and for all resolve by a study of the scriptures that you or anyone has a guardian angel. Cannot be resolved. Show you. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 10, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who's in heaven." What does that mean? I don't know that I can tell you. I can speculate, but I don't know if I can tell you that. Don't know if I can tell you that. Also, the Jerusalem brethren thought Peter's angel was at their door in Acts 12 and verse 15. But that doesn't make it so. There are miraculous activities by angels recorded in the New Testament, no doubt. However, since God does not otherwise act miraculously in this age for obvious purposes, which we can, another whole study in, but show that God had used miraculous ways of dealing with people to bring the gospel to us, and there's no need for them anymore. God today is not to be expected to act miraculously by angels any more than he performs miracles. God, however, and I believe this sincerely, does provide continual care for his people providentially. I believe that. What role angels play in the operation of God's providence? It isn't delineated, nor is it explicitly clear. I don't know. And someone says, well, if you don't know how they do it, then how do you know they do it? I know that God takes care of man today. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I believe it. But if angels work today, they work providentially and act according to the will of God and never independent from it. Never. Consistent with the teaching of the scriptures and never contradicting what the Bible teaches. Which brings us to our last point, And I'm sorry, folks, that I'm really long-winded today twice, but that's okay. You'll be without me for a while, and you'll recover. Now, I want to talk about angels and sin. This is a real interesting subject. If you say someone's an angel, oh, he's my angel, he's an angel, she's an angel, you mean they're just perfect. They never do anything wrong. Oh, everything they do is righteous. But in times past, angels have sinned. I know it. Why? Because I can read it. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to reserve for judgment. And in Jude verse 6, the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he's reserved in everlasting chains and under darkness for judgment of the great last day. So, if you want to know if angels sin, there's your answer. Angels sin. And here's the real clincher. There's no plan of salvation for sinful angels. Nowhere do you read about it. And in fact, they are reserved in everlasting chains of darkness, end quote. See it? It's no wonder they desire to look into God's scheme of redemption for sinful man. No wonder. They would quite like to have something like it for themselves, but it's not there. It's not there. Angels will not save us. Now, why did I make a statement like that? Well, some people become so enamored with the subject of angels and the fantasies surrounding them that they think they can pray to angels. They think they can count on angels to protect them from certain things. When I was a kid, every Catholic kid had St. Christopher around his neck. I don't know what good it did him, but they had it around his neck. But they thought that would protect them. And when you're driving down the street, if you can look away from the road for a minute, look next to the car next to you, you'll see a little old figurine up there on the dashboard of some saint that is going to deliver them, save them from all these different things. No, we can't depend on it. We must choose to follow Jesus Christ and obey His gospel. That's it. Not angels. Nothing is going to help us there. Are there unresolved issues with understanding all about angels? I think so. And I honestly, sincerely believe that as long as we live, we'll have a lot of questions. But there's only so many of them that God's given us the answer to. The secret things belong to God. And we need to be prepared to just leave it there at that point. But we do have enough information, though, to eliminate some of the misconceptions people have. And that's what we've set out to do this evening. I often say I'd like subjects, it helps me to stimulate my little brain when I have a subject. And this subject was given to me by Terry Ward last Sunday. And I'm glad, because I was really strained. What am I going to preach? What am I going to preach? Oh, I'm going to preach on angels. And I hope that this has been beneficial to you. and I hope it's maybe even answered some questions for you.